Welcome to the Gonzo Not Moe Newsroom. I'm JP. I'm joined by Kyle and Vinny. How are you doing, Vinny?
I am doing well today.
How about you, Kyle?
Discovered a new manga. I'm happy.
What are you reading?
Oh, well, it's actually a news story.
Oh, one of the news stories. I'll save it. Oh, yes. I forget. We just talked about this. Anyway, this is the News Broom. We record it every Sunday at 1 p.m. It comes out every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. It also airs on WJMOE Radio, which I am probably going to kill soon because it does not get listened to. I think 1 hour of listening has happened in the last month. Each week we run down the top stories from the previous week. Most of them are Anime News Network stories, but this week a surprising number of them came from Variety, which seems to be the go-to anime giant press release factory these days. We keep the show to just under an hour, so it's not a big time commitment, and this week we might actually have too many stories for that hour. We're also on Twitter. I'm gonzo.moe, Kyle is A New Type Century, and then Vinny is Vinny Av AGC. Those links are also in our show notes. You can find this on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and you can also call us at 716-46-MOE-43. That is 716-466-6343. We got to get into this.
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
The first story that I have is a feature that was put up on Anime News Network about Soul Press. This was a company that we talked about maybe two or three podcasts ago. And it was a manga company that a bunch of their license were, what's the word? Rescinded? Retracted? Taken back from the license holders in Japan. And at the time, there was a lot of speculation about what was going on. There were rumors that the CEO had disappeared. There were rumors that people weren't getting paid. And this feature seems to confirm all of those things. I guess this company was started by like one person. I should have put their name in my notes. I did not put their name in my notes. My mistake.
Michael Valdez.
So it was saying that he had a like big ideas. He was going to like shake the industry up, but didn't have a whole lot of experience and may have underestimated just how much manga license would cost and how much localization would cost. And at some point just got in over his head and vanished without paying a number of people. The person that seems to be the main source for this feature claims that they are owed $10,000, but their team did get paid. This is such a fucking mess.
Yeah, no, it's classic first timer, right? I mean, we've seen this with, not recently, but this is it turns out that, especially the stuff that they were licensing, right? They had like a certain audience and he was really overestimating how, like what their actual audience would be, let alone like who was going to buy it. Didn't really know what the math was going to be and just went in very optimistically. And, you know, it sounds like they put out some good work, at least like the people, like despite how this ended, like a lot of the people in this article actually sound like they're not like, they're like, this was like, maybe I didn't get paid as much as I should have, but like, it was my first time and like, it was good experience. And like, I feel like they're trying to make the most out of it.
Yeah.
But especially because it sounds like, most of the other people were paid, like the person who's owed the 10K. It sounds like they tried to get all of their people paid first before them.
Yes.
So it sounds like in particular, like they got the shaft, but everyone else, they were paid a lot less than they were should have been, but they were paid thanks to the sacrifice of this other person. And so in that sense, I feel really bad for them because it says that they can't pursue this anymore legally because it's just too expensive for them.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like they're sore out of luck, but at least everyone else, you know, they've taken like what good they can from the experience.
It really is a nightmare as a freelancer when a client doesn't pay you because kind of de facto by not getting paid, you probably don't have enough money to pursue it. I had somebody, I won't name them, but I had somebody that owed me $700 from God, like 6 years ago. And like, what am I going to do about that? That's not enough to like merit taking it to court. I would have spent more taking them to court. They did finally pay me. I got a random email like 2 weeks ago that's like, hey, what's your address? I have your money. But that doesn't happen to everybody.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Vinny?
This is a pretty upsetting one, given how many people worked as that. I would assume these titles are decent. Like, I recognize the names of them, at least.
Yeah, Chivalry of a Failed Knight, Blend S, and Is This Order a Rabbit are the three that are listed in the feature. I assume those are the three most popular. I don't recognize two of them, but I recognize Is This Order a Rabbit, or Is The Order a Rabbit, sorry. Although Blend S sounds a little familiar. Isn't that like getting made into an anime? I feel like we talked about that last week.
Yeah, that, and I recognize the name Chivalry of a Failed Knight, too. I mean, they also do say that, you know, they mention if customers want refunds because these titles are now gone from platforms.
Yeah, especially the visual novels. It says that Steam and Bookwalker, like, they're removing these. So, of course, how that works is if you've bought it, then it should stay in your account. But for everyone else, like, this isn't just, like, this guy's actions are now, like, removing these and probably, like, destroyed any future they have.
Yeah, there was a point they made in the end that even if a company wanted to rescue license these, they would have to involve Soul Press in the contract for some reason, which is not going to happen if the guy vanished. But also, they would have to retranslate them, and I guess it would require people to, like, buy them again. I don't fully understand why you would have to buy the title again. I guess to show that it's selling so they would make volume two or whatever. The other thing in here that was really unfortunate is it said that refunds are tricky in this situation because the company's gone. And so it's not as easy as going to, I don't know, Barnes & Noble and getting your money back. It said that customers are going to have to, like, handle this through PayPal and their banks.
Yeah, so this is a very much a situation where, like, I mean, the only way to, I guess, get these titles anymore will be piracy, but you're not stealing from anybody because the company doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a fucking mess. Some good news for fans of Spy Classroom, the light novel, will be getting a TV series. This is based on somebody, like, doing one last job, but the team they get is a bunch of, like, inept people. So I presume the name comes from them teaching all of these people how to be spies. The Black Clover anime film has a tentative 2023 release. I don't know why I said tentative. It's a 2023 release date. There's also a mobile game that's coming out with a worldwide release. So if you're fans of that series, that is exciting news. The original manga creator is also involved in the film as chief supervisor and the character designer, which seems to be uncommon. Usually they are not, like, actively working on the production process. Fans of DJ D4DJ Double Mix, that is getting a special episode this summer. This reminded me of another thing that got an extra episode recently, Mushoku Tensei. It got a bonus episode, and so this was announced, you know, months ago that this episode was coming out, but I guess Funimation just, like, under the radar threw it up on their streaming service that they're currently phasing out without telling anybody. And the episode just popped up like the other day.
Let's say this has been a weird phase out. I tried to, so I hadn't watched Genius Prince in a few weeks, and so I decided to turn on Crunchyroll. I'm like, oh, everything's probably migrated.
Nope.
It's back on Funimation. And I had to go trawling through. So, like, I think that this is, you know, I think that this is not the best planned merger, like, no, a lot of them, but it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, what they said was that things that were already on there will continue to be updated. But since this was a completed show, it was weird that it didn't end up on the other one. It sounded like I cut you off, Vinny. My apologies.
It just feels like they didn't plan it. I think since we're all seeing it, it's very front of house, this transition.
Yeah.
I could have done, like, a big announcement of, like, okay, on July 1st, everything from Funimation is going to be on Crunchyroll.
Right.
That would have been a much better.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe do a quiet migration in the process, but don't announce every week of what's updated.
Sure. Well, I wonder if some of this is just people noticing it and then reporting it on Twitter, but I haven't been paying super close attention. I still need to cancel my Funimation account and migrate. I got an email saying I was double paying for Crunchyroll. I don't know how that's possible. Maybe they're counting Funimation and Verve as two instances of Crunchyroll. I just need to finally sit down and fix that. Sad news, and also an update to a story we talked about either last week or the week before. The creator of Tokyo Mew Mew has unfortunately passed away due to a hemorrhage. It's unclear how old they were. I'm assuming their age is private because it's not listed in the article and it's not listed on their...
Oh, no, they were 43.
They were 43? Okay.
They were born in 1979.
For some reason, I couldn't find that. Was it like deep in the article and I'm just an idiot?
It was deep in the Wikipedia page, right at the top. Okay. I had to really search.
Well, that is very sad news. That's young.
Yeah, no, this hemorrhage, I mean, very young for this.
Fans of Zatch Bell, the manga has a digital release date now, March 14th, which is, what, a week ago. I don't think there's an English version yet, but if you speak Japanese, it is currently available digitally. This is the one that Kyle was talking about in the intro. The creator of Ushio and Tora, which had a reboot anime a couple of years ago, is doing a new part for a manga called The Black Museum, and it's about like Mary Shelley just hanging out. What's interesting to me is that it seems that every 7 years it gets another part, because it first came out in 2007, part two was in 2014, and then this new part is coming out in 2022. You seem pretty interested in this, Kyle.
Yeah, have you seen the art for it? This looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks like kind of 70s shoujo-ish to me.
Yeah, but the fact that, I mean, obviously the whole thing is not going to be in color, like the splash page they have
sure
up on the site, but just really beautiful art. I really like the style. It has a lot of personality. Even just the concept, it sounds really just like, this looks like a lot of fun. And I'm glad that this, you know, a new chapter is what has prompted this discovery, because it says that it is available in English.
Oh.
The two... Because this is a new chapter, but it says that the previous chapters have been published by, let's see, Kodansha released it in two volumes. And apparently there is a OVA from the 90s and a television series from the 2015 about this. So I'm gonna be checking this out.
Oh, then I must have wrote the wrong date down. If there's an OVA in the 90s, then 2007 doesn't make sense for the first part.
I'm wrong. Tora? I'm talking about Ushio and Tora.
Okay. Apparently.
You're right. Ignore everything I said. I cannot read, apparently.
So is the Ushio and Tora manga the one that's available in English?
That's what they're talking about. Yeah.
No, they're talking about the Black Museum is available in English.
Oh, well.
Yeah, this is a very weird... The Black Museum has been published in English. It was the other stuff I said about the OVA and the anime.
Got it.
This is a very odd article. They put too much information that's not...
They did. They shouldn't have that part should not have been included. But yes, it is in English. The Black Museum, the Ghost and the Lady is what it's called.
Look forward to that. This next one is a really interesting article. So the Wings of Onyamis, that was like Gainax's first big film, I believe. It's getting a 4K remaster. It does not currently have an English release. It seems to be for a festival in Japan. And an interesting, good Lord, an interesting fact in here that maybe Kyle knows more about, because I know you're a big fan of this. It says it will feature the original 1987 audio. Was this like redubbed at some point?
I'm actually uncertain. I wouldn't be surprised. This happened to a lot of films from that era. I mean, think about like the Gundam films. Those have famously had like been redubbed in the years since. So, yeah, it's cool that it's getting the original audio, and just I hope that this does not end just screening in the festival and they put the film, you know, like this and back into the vault or whatever. I hope that this does continue to get a home release. I would love to have, and of course, I hope that if it does get a 4K release at home, I desperately hope we have an English subtitles on that, because this is too big of a title to just... I don't know. I feel that it gets overlooked in Gainax's work, but this is like one of the most impressive movies from that era.
It's been out of print for a while. Oh, wait, no. Sentai may have it, I think.
Yeah, I think it's available, but it's like a really, like, it's not like a crazy, like, I have an older Blu-ray release, which was like the more, you know, they put a lot of effort into it. I think that the one from Sentai is just kind of like, here it is.
We probably have the same one. Bandai Visual, DVD Blu-ray pack. Yeah.
they really went all out. It's the kind of title that, like, I know Sentai has it, but like, I wish Discotech had it, because I know that they like released the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Or G Kids. But you know, Sentai has it.
I have a couple quick ones. There is a manga called If I Become a Dog, I Would Be Picked Up by the Person I Like. That is getting an anime in 2023. It's a romantic comedy.
Just saying, that is the most horny art I've seen in a long time. And it's so fucked up considering what the concept is.
It's a romantic comedy about somebody that's like reincarnated as a dog and hangs out with
their hot classmate. Like their dog, their hot classmate's dog.
Just like the opposite of that PETA ad from this week. But just as horny.
There's another anime that has an April 3rd premiere. It's called 3 Seconds Later, Wild Beast, The Man in the Corner at the Mixer Was Indecently Carnivorous. The description for this is very confusing. It seems that a woman just got out of a, it says aggressive relationship, but I'm assuming they mean an abusive relationship. And she's, you know, ready to start dating again. She's looking for a herbivore type man. I don't know what that means. She finds
just
one.
Like, yeah, it's just like a soft boy.
And it turns out he's actually a carnivore type man. Who knows? It's coming out in April 3rd. Kyoto Animation is closing their physical store permanently. I don't know a whole lot about this physical store. It says that it closed in 2019 after the tragic fire that killed like, what, 30 people? 30 or more, I think. And then
it was just like a physical place where you could, you know, get physical merchandise and that kind of thing. But the physical store is closing, but the online store is remaining open.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, it's currently suspended to international fans due to COVID. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is still like the whole practice is staying open. So that's good.
Well, that's good news. Rust Eater Bisco, also known as Sabiqui Bisco. I don't know why they didn't translate that title into English for the release, but whatever. It posted a preview for their upcoming arc called the Tetrigen arc. I did not watch this video because I am miserably behind in this show, but if you're a fan of that series and want a preview of the next arc, you can check that out. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 filmed a trailer. I didn't watch the trailer, but I wanted to talk about the poster. Because it's this interesting, I have mixed feelings. On one hand, I'm like, oh, this poster is really cool because it's like invoking the artwork of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the game. But on the other hand, I feel like I'm being manipulated by a giant company to go see this movie because they're tapping into my nostalgia for the game.
I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. So you are not wrong to feel that. You know, and even the poster itself, right? I mean, the way that they're posed is like a reference to a Tekken poster. And then the checkerboard on the two is like both like a weird dithering. Like I feel like that's a weird dithering artifact / checkerboard of like a race flag. So there's like, yeah, this is kind of checking off a lot of boxes of just like, okay, I like this. I like this, like this. But I mean, it's still going to be a live action Sonic movie.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I heard the first movie was good. I did not see it though.
I also did not see it, but I'm just afraid that it's going to be completely average, and by which I mean I'm sure it's going to be completely average. So
there is a card game anime called Build Divide. It has a second season coming out, it looks like, second part. That is coming out April 2nd. We have more Chilean lawmakers being anime dorks. What's insane about this? This is a third politician. Last week, or the week before, we talked about the president-elect getting a Squirtle. We talked about a lawmaker whose name it's like Pamela something, doing the Naruto run. This is a third person that did an Attack on Titan salute after casting a vote for some bill.
This is maybe I don't know about you guys, but the problem with this one is, one, I think that, like, okay, like to give an example, I like Gundam, original Gundam, and they do this salute in the ending that's like this weird like reaching up, and I always thought that was cool. But honestly, like, you know, as if you've seen Gundam, none of these organizations are good.
Yeah,
right. So like, maybe we shouldn't be emulating them in real life. Like, things like people dressing up like stormtroopers and like is bad enough, but that's like cosplay. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like separate, but when it's like a lawmaker doing like
Yeah.
And we're getting into the, ooh, you've lost the plot territory.
Yeah. Especially where Attack on Titan has gone towards its later run in the series.
Yeah, I've heard that one gets really fascist-y and genocide-y at the end.
Yeah.
So maybe keep out the military salutes. Just putting it out there, everybody.
So this next story is not great. It's a follow-up on the Damon Mills story from last week. I guess warning that this is a very explicit and triggering story. We're not going to go into graphic detail about the allegations, but just be aware that this is not a good time. So last week we talked about this person anonymously known as Duncan that accused ADR director Damon Mills of not necessarily sexual assault, more like exposing himself to him when he was like 15 or 16 years old. And it has a couple interesting updates. So first, Duncan withdrew the allegations and said they were just upset and were lying about what had happened, or like misrepresenting the facts, because Damon initially said that, yeah, this happened, but it was consensual. But then a few days later, Duncan said, I lied about the entire thing. And that got a lot of people wondering, like, did he lie or did Damon Mills threaten him with a lawsuit? And I don't think we're ever going to know the truth behind that, because it seems like everybody involved wants to put this behind them. Lindsay Loveridge, who wrote the coverage for this, well, that rhymed, put out a series of tweets saying that when she wrote this initial article, she was contacted by a ADR director who she's not going to reveal the name of, that said that if they don't take the story down, Damon is going to commit suicide, which seems really manipulative to me.
You think?
Yeah.
That's the definition of manipulative right there.
Well, there was manipulation in the previous story, too, about how Damon allegedly was accusing Duncan's parents of being homophobic if he didn't allow him to sleep over, despite, you know, him being like 20 and the other person being like 15 or 16. It's just, it's a mess. What do you two think?
You can go first, Vinny.
This is like incredibly upsetting. I don't feel good about any of it, but I also don't know what the truth is about what's going on here.
Yeah.
That's definitely the big problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, not I the don't big know problem.
If I could trust Damon Mills again on this one. Like, there's too much weird here.
Especially because, I mean, the articles, so one of them goes into a little bit more, but like screenshots were shared and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from and somebody other than Duncan.
And those seem to be real still. And the comment, like, you know, we talked about how bad the ANN threads, forum threads usually are, but this one, a lot of people are just like, this still seems like it happened. It just seems like this might be a case of like intimidation of like, oh, I didn't realize this would cause legal trouble, or like, this is a real icky situation.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that people figured out who Duncan was pretty quickly. I don't want to know who it is, so I didn't look into that, but I guess they were doxxed very early in this. What really bothers me outside of the initial story is that people are trying to turn this into a culture war with Vic Mignogna. And they're saying like, well, why is Funimation protecting this person? And, you know, the voice actors are protecting him and this and that. And one of the most bizarre ones I saw is somebody that totally twisted the facts and said that Duncan was 12 and that the allegation was much more explicit than it actually was. And so we've got people that are just making stuff up.
Yeah, you don't need to make it worse.
It's already really bad.
Accusation was really bad already. Doesn't need to, you know, oof.
Yeah, this is a big fucking nightmare. My theory of why Funimation and other voice actors are keeping quiet is because they saw what happened with Vic, and they don't want to, you know, get another lawsuit. Because even though Sony has a shitload of money, they don't want to get sued. Surprise. And I would imagine that other voice actors also don't want to get caught up in getting sued like Monica Rial and Jamie Markey did.
Also, the you know, the culture wars, like you said, right? You don't want to make someone too, like, I think, like you said, they're waiting to see how this is going to, like, fan out and all that stuff, but they don't want to, like, create, like, another fan martyr.
Yeah.
Because that's the real problem, right? Like, God, what a fucked up situation.
Yeah. The fact that everybody compares this to, you know, another case that's unrelated is probably the grossest thing outside of the original allegations to me, is like, why are you trying to make this about somebody else? It's a mess. I don't think we're going to get any more details out of that. Hopefully, the people involved that were hurt, find some peace in, I'm not sure. It's bad. Good news after that, Discotheque had a, online panel on Monday. I had forgotten that this happened. They announced a lot of stuff. So, new titles they announced: Astro Boy 1980, Symphogear GX, Fuse Memory of a Hunter Girl, Lupin the Third Prisoner, Prison of the Past, Case Closed, Fist of the Blue Sapphire, Galactic Whirlwind, Sasuriger, Powered Armor, Dorvac, Holmes of Kyoto, and Digimon Adventure. We talked about some of those on the No Name show. Digimon Adventure in particular is getting a remaster using Astro Res. They also gave updates for Moncole Knights, which finally has a tentative release date, I think in May. And Sergeant Frog Season 2 will be coming out soon. They also announced a series of remasters. Cyber City 08 and Violence Jack and Project Aiko 2 in particular are getting film remasters. They found the original prints of all of those. Darkstalkers, I think, is getting an upscale. Kakaishi, I believe, is an upscale. Same with Devilman and Uzumaki live action. A lot of great stuff.
So we've already talked about this in the No Name, Vinny. Do you want to talk about maybe what you're looking forward to the most?
Oh, the most? I mean, I Kyle, you're going to hate me, but it's going to be Digimon Adventure. I mean, that was a big show when I was a kid.
Yeah. So are you going to buy the English one or the Japanese one?
Probably both.
Nice.
Dang, double dipping.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I love that, you know, that was like a dub of my childhood. It's a show I have strong, like, positive memories for.
No, I get it. I think it's a good show.
I'm going to suggest my co-host to it as well.
Well if you do and you need another guest to go a little deeper, think of me.
I will keep you in mind for that. But I would also probably add Cyber City Oedo's remaster is, like, very exciting as a devoted Kawajiri fan.
Yes.
I was a little late on the first Blu-ray, so luckily I'm going to get the second one.
Oh, is that out of print already?
It's not out of print, but it's
this not, is just
it's
a new not, release.
It's not worth getting now. Oh, well, yeah. There's a film transfer version coming. That was like managed by Kawajiri himself.
Oh, yeah.
This does happen a lot. This happens a lot with Discotheque, right? I was really happy, like you, when I announced, like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't grab the earlier version. And the same goes with Devilman, because they released that on DVD, and this is a, like you said, some kind of upscale Blu-ray release. So I went, oh, phew.
Yeah, but, I mean, I have Devilman, but I'm going to buy it again on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
That's worth upgrading. That show is very fun.
The most interesting one to me out of this, outside of Digimon, I guess, is the Violence Jack Blu-ray. This will be the first time ever, I guess, including Japanese releases, that it will be completely uncensored. It's apparently so vile that a lot of people don't want to say what happens in it out loud. So I guess watch that at your own risk.
But it was very strange during the panel with, like, Mike and Justin both sounded uncomfortable talking about this thing that they're releasing.
Yeah.
But before we go on, though, I think that the other interesting title that we didn't mention at all last time is the Uzumaki, the live-action adaptation being brought over, because it sounds like the beginning of some kind of, like, internal label within Discotheque of, like, we're going to start doing live-action titles, because if anyone has, you know, like, perused any kind of Wikipedia page, you'll know that a lot of anime and manga do get live-action adaptations all the time. Mm-hmm. That we just never, ever, ever see. Like, you can, sometimes they get fan translated, but they've never historically left Japan. So if I hope this is a success with like the impending release of Uzumaki the animation, and I hope that they get to keep doing more, because I would love to see some like tons of series come out that are the live action adaptations.
And a lot of those have translations, because they, you know, go to film festivals and whatever else. Like the was the Ace Attorney film ever released here?
I don't think
that was ever on home video.
I was thinking of a few years ago, there was a live action Helter Skelter movie that came out, and I really wanted to see that. I don't know if that would be within the purview of, but like, you know, it's exciting, the idea that like maybe we can finally start to get some of these hidden titles start being released in US.
Yes, that I forgot to put that in the notes. It's a new label under Discotech called Nihon Knights.
I do want to update one thing you guys said on the No Name about the Cyber City commentary. I think it's the first two episodes, and that is Kawajiri and John O'Donnell.
Nice.
With Maruyama. And they're fantastic, because Kawajiri really can... He knows how to do a commentary well, to really probe into like what he's working on, and John O'Donnell does a good job asking the right question at the right time.
So yeah, that's definitely... And it's, again, so rare for those to be brought over, so it's very, very exciting.
I have a number of quick ones that I'm going to rush through. So the Toei hack that we talked about last week, the anime that were affected, have been delayed again with no clear re-airing or, you know, premiere date now. So that is not great for fans of those shows. It looks like One Piece, Digimon, Ghost Game, I think Pretty Cure was in there, and I forget what else, but no air date listed now. There is an OVA called Mirage Queen Amy Cirque that is coming out. June 17th was the date that was announced for that. A few weeks ago, we talked about a Detective Conan spinoff called Zero's Tea Time. That now has a release date, April 4th, with a outside of Japan Netflix date. Maybe not super specific, but coming out in July. Sentai Filmworks licensed an anime called The Demon Girl Next Door, Season 2. That's coming out April 7th, first season in 2019. Bleach Brave Souls came out on the PS4. That's a mobile game. Came out in 148 countries in many, many languages. And then a miserable story. There was a Texas Republican, Matt Shaheen. He's talking about Goblin Slayer and banning books from school, which I don't think anybody will argue that Goblin Slayer should be in schools, but part of his tirade, he didn't actually say if any schools were carrying Goblin Slayer, and also didn't specify whether he meant the novel or the manga, and I think the most troubling part is that he equated Goblin Slayer to an LGBTQ+ graphic novel called Genderqueer, saying that neither of these titles belong in schools. And this seems to be a tactic to lump those two together, like, well, yeah, you're right, Goblin Slayer shouldn't be in school, and also I guess this other one, because it's in the same sentence. Like, it's hard to argue with that. I guess you can obviously say, well, no, the other one isn't, but, you know, most people will see, you know, the more offensive title and think, because it's getting compared, that it's just as bad. This is a fucking mess.
Yep, it's I mean, Texas really has been really shitty lately. No other way to put it. And I don't like the lumping together, especially as it sounds like the Genderqueer is, like it says in the title, a memoir, and it's about like that coming of age. And it just sounds like a very different kind of audience and like intent than something like Goblin Slayer as well, mm-hmm. which is just entertainment. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Genderqueer is not entertainment, but you know what I mean? Like this is a really, well, it's a false equivocation.
Yeah. Did you have anything to say, Vinny, before we move on?
I mean, I always dislike when like legislators are dealing with what's in a library. I think that's there. You know, there are professionals who are good at knowing what should be, you know, what is useful for that community, that audience.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of librarians really do follow comics because, you know, they're fucking nerds usually. And so they'll know what's good and what, you know, what works for people and what to recommend to people. And like, maybe Genderqueer isn't appropriate for certain ages,
mm-hmm.
but that can be done, you know, gently at a library at a individual level.
Right. I mean, I don't think either title is going to show up in, say, an elementary school.
No.
Right? Or like even a middle school. Like if they were, it would probably be for like high school students anyways.
Yeah.
So it does seem like a lot of, you know, like hand washing of just like, oh, well, think of the children, when there really wasn't like, that wasn't a concern to begin with.
Yeah, well, it's a common technique of using Think of the Children to pass your nefarious legislation. I see it a lot, and it's really fucked up. Inuo is getting film screenings outside of Japan. That's not a surprise. It's Masaki Wasa, but also G-Kids licensed it already, so it was kind of bound to get a North American screening at least. But also in France, the UK, Benelux, Latin America, Germany, Middle East, and Spain. So if you're looking forward to seeing that movie and you're in any of those countries, it will be coming soon. Demon Slayer Calligrapher is an interesting way of referring to this person. Tsunenori Sakaguchi was a calligrapher that made like 57 different types of calligraphy fonts. He passed away at 86 due to heart failure. Very sad. But sounds like he led a pretty cool life. This next one is a little bit bigger. So Funimation announced their June release dates and said that this will be when they start to release things under the Crunchyroll label, which we talked about last week, that Funimation as a name would be phased out. Nobody expected it to be like, you know, in a few months. But people also pointed out, hey, this is kind of a short list. And so there is some concern that home video will also be phased out for all but the most popular titles. The other thing that got announced in this was that Dragon Ball Z and GT were added to Crunchyroll. I don't know why those weren't added like in the beginning, because those are, you know, some of the biggest titles that were on Funimation. But it's also been pointed out that DBZ is the widescreen version that they cropped. And it's dub only, and it's apparently the dub only version with the original music. I misspelled that in my notes, because there were two versions. There was the dub with the original music and the dub with the like metal music that Funimation added, which is odd because you would assume that the dub fans want the TV broadcast music, not the original music. I don't know.
Pleasing nobody. Yeah. If everyone's unhappy, then that's a compromise.
It is a miracle to me that Dragon Ball Z is completely poorly handled. So poorly handled for its releases every time. Because those widescreens are awful. And yep. I'm not usually a super big picky person about that, but it's very obvious. They just went like,
fuck
picked
it.
A part of the screen and like chop there.
Oh yeah, they posted an article in Shonen Jump, like bragging, like we got the film prints, and then we chopped them up.
Yeah, I mean, I put it all up there. Put up the you know, the Ocean Group dub too. Like if you have it, don't hold that stuff back.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the classic bit, right? I mean, I think that it's at least good that people give a shit about aspect ratio, because as it turns out, that's really important. And I'm glad that like there is a hubbub around it. I'm just sad that this has been so long that we're never. I just don't think Funimation. And now I guess by they're just now Crunchyroll doesn't give a shit. Yeah.
There was also a ad, or not an ad? Well, kind of in some way. There was an editorial on Variety that painted the merger in a weirdly positive light, saying like, oh, now Sony has all this anime and it's selling so much and they've got all these subscribers. It's a very bizarre read, which I will link in the show notes. I feel like, I don't know if we can say any more about that we haven't already said on the show. I just wanted to bring it up.
Though, it's a industry print source, right?
It's Press Release Magazine. It's like New Type, essentially, that scale. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to understand, like, for the audience, it makes sense. This is for like industry bigwigs to read and go like, oh, well, Sony's dipping into anime. Interesting, right? Like, it's not for you and me.
Yeah.
I'm a little annoyed there's no author, like, credit on this article.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I can't drag them on main.
Yeah. It seems that Variety is the go-to for these big anime announcement exclusives, because something we'll talk about later in here, Toonami usually does their big reveals in Variety as well, which makes me feel bad for ANN, like the biggest English-speaking anime news website, and they're like, we're going to do it in Variety instead.
Yeah, but I mean, like Kyle said, that's where you're going to get like media people to notice that you exist. And you know, when you're looking for a job from Toonami, you know, you say you're from Toonami, if someone sees that name, at least, you know, recognize it.
Yeah. We're getting a little short on time, so I'm going to rush through a couple of these. Crunchyroll is adding the Tokyo 24th board anime dub. That should already be on there. It came out on Wednesday. I think it was the first two episodes. There is a anime called Eternal Boys coming out this fall. It is an original anime that's about middle-aged idols. Manga creator Koji Oishi has taken a brief hiatus from their manga Lycopene the Tomatoy Poodle.
Just really cute and like squishy is the only way to describe it.
I need this.
Yeah.
Which is what makes the reason so funny.
It's because he's become addicted to Elden Ring, just like me.
These men don't look middle-aged.
Yeah, from the previous one, they look like pretty boys.
Well,
but like their backstories will be like, he hurt his shoulder doing construction work.
They look like 30.
Well, yeah. You know. But an interesting quote from the Koji Oishi, like, I'm taking hiatus because of Elden Ring thing, is he compared overwork in the manga industry to Elden Ring. He said, Elden Ring is the same. When I manage to land an attack on the enemy, I have a tendency to get carried away, thinking I might be able to land another hit, but then I'd be the one taking the damage. It's said to be a difficult game, but the key to victory is watching your opponent carefully and not taking on more than you can chew. The anime Orient had episode 11 preempted due to earthquake and tsunami warnings in Japan. It has been rescheduled for March 23rd. There was an earthquake of a magnitude of 7.3 that occurred during, I guess, the broadcast time. Crunchyroll also accidentally streamed the episode that got delayed, but took it down 2 hours later.
And yeah, I remember we actually had just recorded our podcast, like the No Name, like I think an hour or two after that. And it sounds like nothing terrible happened, but I think there was a follow-up as well. There was like a 5.2 or 5.3 earthquake then like a few days after. So
yeah,
makes sense.
You brought it up, and at the time I hadn't seen anything about it. So that was the first I'd heard of it, which is why I was like, oh yes, this is very sad. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, that was just literally like I had turned on Twitter right before getting on, and it was in the trending section. But, you know, it wasn't as bad as like the worst. But, you know, Japan, obviously, that's a big, you know, earthquakes are bad. And yes. They have it's big news whenever it happens. And I'm just happy that it wasn't like mass disaster like has happened in the past.
Mm-hmm. I put that this reminded me of when I was in middle school and Bill Clinton interrupted the new episode of Pokemon. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it had to do with like air strikes or bombings in Iraq. I'm not sure. I tried to look it up, but I don't remember what year it was. So I couldn't find the exact, you know, event that it was. But I was mad at Bill Clinton for years because I was too young to understand what was going on.
Just wanted Pokemon.
Yeah. A couple quick ones. Mangamo, the manga app, added Ragnarok to their lineup.
Record of Ragnarok.
Oh, Record of Ragnarok. Sorry, there's also a manga called Ragnarok.
Yeah. This is the one where one of the goddesses needs two men to like carry her breasts because they're so large.
Yes, that got a Netflix anime recently. The manga creator Yohane Yamamoto has passed away at the age of 55. It seems that they mostly drew adult manga. It wasn't clear to me what he passed away from. It sounds like he had COVID back in January, so it could have been like lingering effects from that, but it said he had a fever shortly before he passed away. The Prince of Tennis 3D CG film is getting a screening in the US May 12th. Sentai licensed Onipon. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is the Onis that are trying to like work as PR for Onis by like I don't know, wearing cute underwear.
Man, I thought it was about bread. Looking at that name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not about bread. But that is premiering in April. Amon, Warrior of the Borderland posted a teaser. Well, not a teaser. The first half of the first episode of part two online. I have not watched that. I'll probably just wait until the new season starts. That's in April 11th. Then another quick one. The Strongest Sage with the Weakest Crest. They had a game that they put out that they had to pull because apparently it was accidentally showing content from another game called, oh, I have it in here, Marionette Eden. I don't know how that happens, but that's very funny to me.
I mean, it's probably just a reskin, right?
Yeah, that's likely. Let's go back to a bigger story. Adult Swim and Toonami. So Toonami had their 25th anniversary. If assuming I got the date right, I put it as March 17th, 2022. And as a celebration to that, they announced three new anime titles. Fooly Cooly Grunge, Fooly Cooly Shoegaze, and then an original anime called Housing Complex C, which is about small, low-cost housing, and it seems that they are haunted. Nobody seems to be excited about more Fooly Cooly, myself included. How about
part of that is because one, like haven't we already gotten at least one new? Did we only get the one?
Progressive and Alternative came out in, I think, 2018. I have them on Blu-ray. I've tried multiple times to watch the show, and while I don't think it's bad, it's only six episodes, and I still get stuck on the same episode. Like, I'm gonna watch something else.
But the reason why I think people are really not excited about this one is because the previous ones were like beautiful, like they got some of the best animators and they like it was hand animated. This is like CG.
Yeah.
And it looks not good.
It looks really bad.
Off to a bad start.
I didn't notice that all of these were named after musical genres until someone pointed that out.
Yeah. But I think the other problem with this is just that like, so Gainax has been in this weird, like, what are they now? Like a tax haven? Like something is really messed up at Gainax, right? It's the Something's Rotten in Denmark. But they just keep on putting out Fooly Cooly. Like there have been talks for years of like they would maybe put out like, I don't know, like a new
Uru Blue,
one of their other series or anything. There's been all this other talk and they just haven't.
I think Production IG bought out all of Gainax's rights to Fooly Cooly. And that's what let them make the second two seasons.
I haven't seen it in a long time, original Fooly Cooly, but like when I did see it, I wasn't the biggest fan of it. So like, I personally can't get very excited for more of it. Yeah. Having said that, I need to rewatch it.
Yeah. I didn't love Fooly Cooly when it came out, but I thought it was okay. I rewatched it later and I liked it a lot more as an adult. I think at the time I was just like, it was exhausting to watch. I've never been a fan of like the fast-paced, goofy anime comedies. But these, I don't know. The trailer looks really bad. And what's so funny to me is every time more Fooly Cooly gets announced, is people are like, yay, I'll take more pillows. And it's like, guys, they're using songs that have existed for a long time. Just go online and look for their music. It's not a band that only exists to make Fooly Cooly music. But yeah, I don't know. Toonami being 25 is cool, though. Toonami was really important for a lot of people, helping them become anime fans. For me, Adult Swim played a bigger role. I wrote a fairly lengthy editorial about this last year. I know, Kyle, you became an anime fan a bit later, but how about you, Vinny? Was Toonami instrumental for you?
Toonami is absolutely a core part of why I'm here today.
I think.
What did you used to watch?
I kind of mark Outlaw Star as like that turning point for me. Okay. Like when I went from some kid watching cartoons to an anime fan.
Right. To knowing like, oh, this is animated in Japan. That's why it's different.
Yeah.
I still need to watch Outlaw Star. Yu Yu Hakusho was my... Technically, Inuyasha was my gateway drug, but Yu Yu Hakusho was my first, like, holy shit, this is cool. Moving on, more sad news. Well, unfortunate, maybe not sad. Dragon Ball Super superhero has also been delayed due to the Toei animation hack. Teasing Master Takagi-san, the film has announced a release date, June 10th. I believe that Sentai has the rights to that. I don't think there is a North American or any other than Japan screening announced quite yet. The third season is currently airing. But also on June 10th, Isekai Quartet Another World has a movie that's coming out. There is a movie called Break of Dawn, based on a science fiction manga from Tetsuya Imai, that will be getting a film. I just want to say it looks really good.
I don't know if the trailer is really short and it's just like a famous music piece to like a mostly static image. But in terms of like visuals, I think that I hope that it can. Emotion will look as good as the still because it looks really good.
This is from the same creator as Alice and Zokoru. It seems to be about a unavoidable comet heading towards Earth. Crunchyroll streaming Goro Taniguchi's new anime Astab Life 2 weeks ahead of the Japanese broadcast, which happened with Skate Leading Stars as well. It's coming out March 23rd, but it's streaming in Japan already. The first four episodes came out. Oh, did I write the date down? March 1st, the next four episodes come out March 22nd, a day before the English stream. Crunchyroll's also added Legend of the Galactic Heroes Season 3, Die Neue These.
It's German, so it's Die Neue These.
Oh,
I think.
My bad.
That's how you pronounce it.
Jujutsu Kaisen.
The new thesis. That's how it translates.
Jujutsu Kaisen Zero came out. It earned $2.88 million from a preview screening, but then Vinny sent me a Variety article saying that it got $8.68 million during its opening weekend.
It was like 19-something.
Oh, it's at 19 now?
It's projected to that, sorry. It's projected. I guess that only included like Friday and Saturday.
And it was number two, so that's pretty cool. J-Novel Club licensed a bunch of stuff. Gushing Over Magical Girls. Sometimes Even Reality is a Lie. Doll Kara. The Saga of Lion Court. Fushi no Kami. Rebuilding Civilization Starts with a Village. Housekeeping Mage from Another World. Make Your Adventure Feel Like Home. VTuber Legend. How I Went Viral After Forgetting to Turn Off My Stream. Genesis 3 years After the Dungeons. And The Misfit of a Demon King Academy. This was all announced on a Twitch stream. Ragna Crimson is a manga that's getting an anime in 2023. There's a manga called Jong Tama Pong based on a manga Soul, I assume mobile game, that's getting an anime April 1st is that premiere. The Monogatari novel series is getting a series of audiobooks in Japan. Each one will have a different character narrating them. I was originally going to go through and try to read them, but it is a lot. The Monogatari books have very long, difficult to pronounce names.
Yep.
Netflix announced that they're making a Tekken TV show. That is a U.S. production. And then we have our Toonami ratings. It looks like Shenmue was the most with 222,000. Then Assassination Classroom was the second highest with 165,000. When you compare them to last year's ratings, they are... 100,000 less, but still doing better than they were a couple months ago. So to wrap things up, we are going to take a look at our Right Stuff Top 10 in the Blu-ray category. We have Fate Zero Complete Box Set at number 10. Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon Season 3 at number 9. Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works at number 8. Dr. Stone Season 2 Limited Edition at number 7. My Hero Academia Season 5 Part 1 in number 6. Haikyuu Season 4 in number 5. Attack on Titan The Final Season Part 1 is at number 4. Food Wars The Fifth Plate at number 3. Fate Grand Order The Movie at number 2. And then Bell has the number 1 spot in Blu-ray releases.
Good for Bell.
Yeah. I'm holding out hope that it'll get a 4K release, so I've not bought that.
Same.
Yet.
I don't want to be burnt by a 4K release coming like a month later, and then you and I just look at each other and have to double dip. Nah.
Yeah. Manga, this shouldn't come as a surprise. Jujutsu Kaisen has the 10, 9, and 8 spot. Then Chainsaw Man has 7, 6, and 5. Claymore, a box set, is at number 4. Then more Jujutsu Kaisen at 3 and 2. The Jujutsu Kaisen prequel that the movie is based on is the number 3. And then One Piece Manga Box Set 3 is the number 1. And then we take a look at our DVDs. What do we got? GTO is at number 10. Pat Labor, oh my God, you corrected me last time. What is this? WX3 is at 23?
No, it's W13.
W13. Yeah, that's at number 9. Mazinger TV series set 1 is number 8. We have Cutie Honey at number 7. And 80 Police Files at number 6. Golden Boy at number 5. Ghost Stories at number 4. And then Gunbuster 2 at 3, 2, and 1.
Ooh. Yeah, the original Fooly Cooly sequel.
Yeah, right. We made it. I didn't think we were going to make it, but we made it. This is the Gonzo.moe Newsbroom. Every week we talk about the top stories from the previous week. New podcast every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Tell your friends to listen to the Newsbroom. Probably.
Probably.
I don't know.
No, listen to it.
Definitely tell them to, if you can review things on iTunes, that would be a good thing to do to us, or not, you know, all of the podcatchers. If you want the links to any of these stories, I always put them in the show notes. I don't know if I've ever made that clear. Everything that's we talk about is in the show notes. You can also leave us voicemails at 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. Coming up on the Newsbroom soon, I think first we're going to get me and Noelle talking about Jujutsu Kaisen Zero. That, in theory, will come out Wednesday. We're going to record that Tuesday night. And then the week after, it's been a long time coming, Dick Fight Island with me and Vinny. Thank you for listening. Just shoot
you rubbing her hands together.
At least he's rubbing his hands in this case.
See you next time.
Bye.